Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin from the bottom of Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Three lines from the bottom, you will notice a Mishnah. Habachor notel pishnayim benichsei ho'av, v'eino notel pishnayim benichsei ho'em. A firstborn male child is entitled to a double portion of inheritance. Double portion means twice as much as any one given brother that inherits with him. This entitlement is within the property left by their deceased father, not with regard to property left by from their deceased mother. V'eino notel pishnayim b'shevach v'lo b'roi kibemuchsak. When we say that a bechor is entitled to a double portion, we'll say an extra portion, that is true with regard to property that the father was in possession of at the time of his death. However, with regard to increase in value that the property experienced after the father's death, before they divided the estate, that value is divided equally amongst the surviving children, and with regard to that, the Bechor does not get a double portion. That is called Shevach, increased value. Another situation in which a firstborn does not get a double portion is with regard to roi. This is a reference to property that the father was not in possession of at the time he died. The example Rashi gives, it's a reference to property that the father himself was fit to inherit. He was in a line of inheritance. And unfortunately, their father died before he himself inherited those properties, so that the one who bequeathed those properties died after their father, so their father never got possession of those properties. Eventually, when that individual dies, the properties left will be divided equally amongst all of these heirs, and no double portion from those properties to the firstborn. V'lo ho'isha v'ksubasa. The Mishnah had mentioned that a bechor does not get pishnayim in shevach, nor in roi. A shevach was increased value. Roi was a reference to potential properties as opposed to actually held properties. The same law applies with regard to the Isha collecting her ksuba. The ksuba is the document that a husband prepares for his wife, indicating the obligations that he has to her, financial obligations, etc., that he has to her. So with regard to those obligations, the woman, upon, let's say, her husband's death, will collect a ksuba. She collects that from properties that her husband is in possession of, not from properties that her husband left but increased in value after his death, or properties that were roi, that were only his in potential but not actual in actual possession of. Rashi at the top, lo ha'isha b'ksubasa, lo b'shevach shishbichu, im einam shovin hanechosim b'sh'as misas b'aylo kedei shiur ksuba. Let us say that the properties that her husband left at the point of his death were not equal in value to the amount that he had dedicated to her in the ksuba. v'achar kach hishbichu. After his death, they increased in value. Eino noiteles ela kemo shehoyu shoven. She doesn't take from that increased value. She takes only the properties as much as they were worth at the time of his death. V'lo b'roi kemo muchsuk. And likewise, she doesn't collect properties that were outstanding or that were not as yet collected by her husband. Another example of people who do not get b'roi kibamuchsok and do not get from the shevach, v'lo habonois b'mezoinois sehen. This case is a very specific situation where a man marries a woman who already had daughters. So for the woman, it's her second marriage. The man she marries accepts upon himself to support her daughters for 5 years. They are able to draw their support after his death. In the event that their mother's second husband dies, they can draw support for 5 years, but only from properties that the husband had been in possession of at the time of his death, and only in accordance with their value at the time of his death. If they increased in value, they don't have a right to collect from that increased value. V'lo hayovam. A yovam is a man whose brother died, leaving a widow and no children. So the surviving brother is expected to marry the widow. Often, the surviving brother has other brothers. In other words, the deceased left a few brothers. We know that the one who marries the widow takes over, so to speak, the rights and the properties of his brother. However, we should point out that the Torah calls the Yovam by the term Bechor. So Rashi says, V'lo ha-Yovam shenotel pi shnayim. What does that mean, the Yovam gets a double portion? Chelko v'chelek ha-meis sheyibeim es ishtoi. Einoi notel b'chelek echov lo b'shevach v'lo b'roi. He gets the property of the deceased, but only insofar as its value as it was at the time of the deceased's demise. Likewise, any outstanding properties that the deceased may have anticipated inheriting, likewise he, this Yovam, does not get. So increased value in properties and Roy would be distributed amongst all of the surviving brothers. Now, we have a line in the Mishnah that seems to be repetitive, and the Gemara will take note of what is trying to be accomplished by this repetition. The Mishnah says, V'chulam einotlin b'shevach v'lo b'roi kebemuchsak. All of them, the aforementioned, will not collect the increased value, nor will they get outstanding or anticipated properties the way they get held properties. The Gemara, before we begin the actual Gemara, we have a topic on the outside margin. We, in our Shas Gemara marking system, provide in our Shas Ozer, the Shas, the Gemara that appears on your screen, topic headings called Nosei. These are Mekuros Ladine HaMishnas. The Gemara here will provide sources for the teachings of the Mishnah. My Taimo. Why is it that a Bechor gets Pi Shnayim only in Nichse Ho'av and not in Nichse Ho'em? Omar Kro V'loi Mishpat HaBechoro. Rashi quotes more of the Pasuk. It says, Ki Hu Reishis Oinoi, the firstborn is called Reishis Oinoi, V'loi Mishpat HaBechoro. Mashmo Da Adidei Koi. The Pasuk seems to be focused on him. Klomar, Binechosov, in the father's property, Mishpat HaBechora, in the father's property, Velo Benichse Ishto, and not in his wife's, the mother's property. The Gemara, we read the Pasuk again, Veloi Mishpat HaBechora, equals Mishpat HaBechora Le'ish, the laws of firstborn apply to the father's property, Ve'ein Mishpat HaBechora Le'isha, the rules concerning Bechora, double portions, don't apply to a woman's property. Ve'eino notel b'shevach. Dichtiv, why is it that the Bechor doesn't get a double portion in the increase of the value of the properties between the time of the father's death and the eventual distribution? The Pasuk Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Bechol asher yimotzei loy. He gets a double portion in everything that is found by him, found by the father, velo beroy kibemuksok, and not with regard to the roy, the outstanding or anticipated properties. Anticipated is something that is not currently found in the father's possession. Dichtiv, let us go over this Gemara again. The first citation, the Pasuk was cited B'chol Shemotzlo to explain why he doesn't get B'shevach. And now the Gemara explains why he doesn't get B'roi Kibemuchsok, why he doesn't get anticipated properties, a double portion, as he does get a double portion from Muchsok. Tichtiv, quoting the same Pasuk, B'chol Asher Yimotzei Loi. That, too, the roi is also not something found by the father at the point of his death. So, just to review the last couple lines of Gemara, we said that a bechor doesn't get a double portion in increased value, and he doesn't get a double portion in potential properties, because both of them are not under the heading of asher yimotzelo, things that are found by the father at the time of his death. The next point that was mentioned in the Mishnah, Velo Ho'isha Be'ksubasa, she doesn't get the shevach of the properties of her husband for as toward her ksuba payment. The Gemara asks, Aini, is that really so? V'omar Shmuel Baal Choiv Goive Es HaShevach. If a person died leaving debts to be paid, a Baal Choiv is a Malve wants to collect property from to pay off his debt, he is entitled to collect the shevach, any increase in the value of the property, and as such, the woman is like a baal chov. There is a debt paid owed to her. The ksuba is a debt that the deceased husband owes to the wife. So, if it's true, like Shmuel says, that a baal chov, a creditor, has a right to collect increased value in the borrower's property, so too the Isha. Omar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba answers, Mikule Ksuba Shanu Kan. Although a woman may be viewed as a creditor, someone collecting from someone else, in this case her husband, there are rules in Ksuba payment in which we are lenient or treat lightly or lighter than we would other areas of payment. Velo habonos b'mezoinoisehen, the daughters of a woman who we said get support from her second husband for 5 years, we say they, in the event that this man dies, the daughters don't collect their mezonos, their support, from the shevach, nor from the ro'i, mai taimo. So why is that? Answer, tanai ksuba kiksuba domi. Conditions that are written into the ksuba and the support of the woman's daughters from a previous marriage are called conditions written into a ksuba. They have the same rules as the ksuba itself. And as we just pointed out before, the ksuba is treated lighter than we treat other forms of debt, and hence roi and shevach are not to be collected. Velo hayovam, we said the yovam as well doesn't get the shevach nor the roi. Mai taimo, bechor karya rachmona. The Torah refers to the yovam using the term bechor. And if that be the case, just like we proved already, Bechor does not get b'shevach nor b'roi, so to the Yavam. Omar Abaye. You'll notice that we have a 1 over Abaye. A few lines later, you'll see Rava, which we call number 2. Before going on in the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin under our Nosei topic heading. Be'inyin ha dekartoni, de'ein hayavam notel es ha-shevach, she'shavchu nechosim nichse oviv. Regarding that which we said that a Yavam does not get the shevach, the increased value in the properties of his brother, the deceased, that increased. There are two time periods that the Gemara is going to focus on. So, Aleph, Bein Misa Layibum, between the time of the death and the actual marriage of the brother-in-law to the widow, that time period, if there's increase in value of the property, Kuli Amo Lo Pligi Di Eino Notel, everyone agrees that the Yavam will not collect that for himself, but rather that will be divided amongst all of the surviving brothers. Another time period, Bein Yibum Lechaluka, between the time of the actual marriage to the widow and the eventual division of the properties. We're talking, of course, about a father had an estate, and amongst the brothers you have the deceased and the Yavam, and we say that regarding the division of the properties between the time of the marriage and the division, there, let us say there's an increase in property value. Abaye says that notel, that the Yavam will get that, and Rava says lo itol, even that shevach, the Yavam will not collect. So we have seen now that there are two time periods under discussion. The increase in value that the properties experience between the time of death of the brother and the marriage to his widow by the surviving brother, everyone agrees that he will not get a double portion. However, regarding the increase in value that the property experiences between the time of marriage and the eventual division, on this we have a machlokas, Abaye and Rava. Let us now see this in the Gemara itself. Omar Abaye, loy shonu elo b'shevach sheshovchu nechosim bein miso liyibom. The halacha that the Yavam does not get a double portion, or doesn't get the brother's portion in the shevach, that is true with regard to shevach that accrued between the time of the brother's death and the yibum marriage. However, if there is increase in the brother's portion, the deceased's portion, between the time of the marriage and the eventual division of the properties, Shokil, the Yavam will get it. My Taima, why is he entitled to that? Yokum al shem ochiv hames, Omar Rahman of the Posuk, in describing the Yavam, says that he assumes the position, the identity of the deceased. The Hare Kum, now that he has married her, he has married the widow, he has now assumed the position of the deceased. So, from the point of marriage, if there is any increase in that family estate, so the portion that was due to the deceased is taken over by the brother that did the Yibum. Because, as we said, at the point that he marries her, he is Yokum al Shem Ochiv. He takes over the deceased's position. Had the deceased been alive, he would have benefited from the increase in value. So now, too, he takes over that position, and the Yavam, that is, and he benefits from this increase in value of that family estate. Rava Omar, afilu bein yibom lechaluka nami lo shokil. Even after the yavam marries the widow, he will not get the portion. He will not get exclusively get the portion of the deceased with regard to that increase in value. So that, as far as Rava is concerned, a yavam gets the property of the deceased brother as it was worth at the time that the brother died. Any increase later on, the yavam is not entitled to take for himself, but it must be divided amongst all of the brothers. My taima, why is this? Why does Rava hold this? Kibachor, because the Torah calls a yavam like a bechor. Ma bechor ein lo koidim chalukah, just like a bechor does not get any double portion before the division of the property. Af yavam nami ein lo koidim chalukah. So too, the yavam doesn't get any extra prior to the division of the property. The chulam ein noitlin b'shevach. We mentioned that this closing phrase of the Mishnah seemed to be redundant. So the Gemara answers, and before actually we learn the Gemara, we should note that this v'chulam is to be understood almost as if there is a colon, kulam, all of them don't get the shevach, and it also says they don't get the roi. So there's this repetition in the Mishnah regarding their not receiving shevach, and likewise they're not receiving roi. So the first piece of Gemara at the top of Omid Beis says la suye shevach de memela, that they don't receive shevach. We're coming to include even shevach that no efforts were expended upon in order to achieve shevach de memela. What is examples of that? Kegoin chafura v'havu shovli. Chafura is a reference to grains in an early state of their development. Shovli is their maturation, leaving them till they develop into full-grown sheaves. So the additional growth of grains is in fact shevach, and it's shevach that happens automatically. Had the Mishnah not had this section, I would have thought that when we say that a bechor doesn't get shevach, that is a reference to shevach that the other brothers invested efforts in order to achieve. So I can understand that type of increased value. Situations where the brothers of this Bechor had fertilized the field, had tilled the field, plowed it up, whatever it is, but it involves exertion of effort. So that I understand the Bechor is not entitled to receive the increased value, the shevach of that nature. However, increased value that results from simple passage of time and additional growth of vegetation, I would have thought that the bechor is entitled to receive a double portion. So that's what this extra expression of the Mishnah says. It comes to cover that case as well. Another example is shalfufi v'havu tamri. Shalfufi is a reference to fruits, in this case we're talking about dates, at a very early stage of their development called smadar. And if, let us say, at the point the father died, the dates left in his date field were smadar level development, and until they came to divide the field, the dates matured into full-grown dates. So that increase in value, the Bechor is not entitled to receive a double portion. And that's all learned from this extra phrase in the Mishnah. Likewise, we say, V'lo b'roi kibemufsak, and we said this too as a repetitious point, la'asuye, this comes to include, nichse de'avi abo. When we say that a Bechor does not get a double portion in roi, in anticipated properties, we're coming to include even the case of avi abo. Now, what's the case of avi abo? In other words, let's go over this last point. Had there been no repetition, and we were taught that a bechor doesn't get beroi, so there's one situation which was, we'll call obviously roi, obviously only anticipated, but not in possession of. This extra phrase comes to include another case which I would have thought that the bechor is entitled to. In order to appreciate two inheritance situations, one being more obviously roi than the other, let us glance at the Rashi. Rashi, nichse de avi abo. Im hoyo avi avihem chai. We have a little chart on the margin of the Gemara to help follow along visually. If the heir's grandfather was alive, b'shas misis avihem, when their own father died, v'hayu nechosim reuyin lipol lohem kishiyomus, the grandfather's property was fit to be inherited by them when he dies. Afagav devadai asidim lipol lohem. Even though a grandfather's property with regard to grandsons is something that's definitely going to come to them, v'afilu yesh lo ben acher, even if that grandfather has other sons, in other words, the heirs we're talking about have uncles, nevertheless, yitlu elu chelek avihem, the grandsons get their what their father would have received from his father. V'saka de techamino de kemuchsok domu. I would have thought, without this extra phrase in the Mishnah, that this particular case of what we call avi aviem is considered like muhsak. Namely, even though the heir's own father died in the lifetime of their grandfather, but since their father was definitely going to inherit the properties of avi aviem, in other words, his own father or the heir's grandfather, so I would have thought that in the event that the father in fact died before their grandfather, still the Bechor would get a double portion. That's why we have the extra phrase in the Mishnah telling me no. Rashi goes on, De'i me'resha, had I just had the early part of the Mishnah which said a Bechor does not get Pishnayim, Havamina roi de kotoni resha, I would have thought that roi that was mentioned in the resha, di'ein habechor notel pi bo, that the bechor does not get a double portion in that, kegoin shenoflu lehu nichse achi avihem, that was a reference to the Yorshim's uncle's property, shehoyu lo bonim b'shas mises avihem shel elu. We have another chart to help understand this. On the chart, you can see the different players and numbers associated with them. These are order. These indicate order of events. So we have on our chart the similar chart as above. We have a grandfather who has two sons. And there's Avihem on the chart, and the Yorshim, these are the ones we're focusing on right now. And the Yorshim in question, there's a Bechor amongst them. When their own father died, there was a brother who had his own sons. So as far as the Yorshim in our picture, they don't expect to receive the portion of their uncle. Why? Because their uncle had his own sons. Therefore, when their own father died, their uncle's property wasn't going to come to the Yorshim. However, after the father died, the uncle's own sons died. So who's next in line of inheritance in a case like this, where the uncle survived, outlived his own children? So the uncle's properties would eventually go to his nephews that we have labeled Yorshim. And then when the uncle dies, the Yorshim in fact inherit. So the ratio of the Mishnah tells us that regarding this case of uncle's properties, there I understand clearly that a Bechor does not get pi shnayim of that because of the uncertainty element in the nephews inheriting their uncle, as we illustrated already. Had I had only the ratio, so I would have thought that Roy covers the case of heirs inheriting their uncle's property. However, regarding the Yorshim inheriting their grandfather's property and the Bechor getting a double portion in that, I would have thought that he does, because that the grandfather's property was inevitable with regard to getting to the Yorshim. So Rashi continues, Shehoyu lo bonim b'shas mises avihem, the uncle had his own sons when the Yorshim's dad died. B'shas mises avihem shel elu, umesu bonov, and then the uncle's children died. The achakach mesu, and then the uncle died. The nechosim halolu lo hoyu reuyim lohem b'shas mises avihem. The property that was held by the uncle, by Achi Avim, was not anticipated to be received by these Yorshim. So that we'll call is the more obvious case of Roi. But we are saying by the repetition in the Mishnah that even the property of grandfather will not be distributed to the Bechor in a Pi Shnayim fashion, but the brothers will divide it equally. We approach now a new Mishnah, and before getting into the Mishnah, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Machlokes Tanoim b'ma chozer b'yovel. The Torah speaks about property return during the Yovel or Jubilee year. Every 50 years, property that had been part of commercial transactions, purchased lands, are restored to the original owner. There are a list of cases where this property return does not take place. The elu she'ein chozrin biyovel, habechora, the bechor who received a double portion in their father's property, he maintains that double portion through the Yovel year. V'hayoresh es ishto, someone whose wife passed away and the husband inherited the wife, he keeps his wife's properties. V'haymiyabim es eshes ochiv, the Yovam keeps the brother's properties. V'hamatona, divrei Rabbi Meir. Matona means properties that one received through a gift. The Yovel does not affect that, and hence he keeps it throughout. The Chachomim omrim ha-matona kemecher. Regarding matona, the Chachomim disagree with Rabbi Meir and say that we look at a gift like a sale. And just like we know that when Yovel comes around, all properties that were sold are returned to the original owner, so too a matona, a gift that one received, gift of land, is returned to the giver. Rabbi Lozer Omer, Kulam Chozrin Biyovel. Rabbi Lozer says all of these do return in the Yovel year. They return to their original owners. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka Omer, Hayoresh es Ishto, Yachsir Livnei Mishpacha. One who inherits his wife returns property to her family. Vinake Lohem Min Hadomim. When he returns the wife's property to her family, they from the Mishnah you see that they pay him for that, but they don't pay him the full amount. He minakes to subtract. A subtraction is made whereby they pay almost all the value, but not the entire value. This last section of the Mishnah will be explained clearly later in the Gemara. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, you see that we've provided triangles. These triangles are explained under the Mivneh, the structural note in the outside margin, Shemois HaTanoim Shenizgru B'Mishnah. These are names of Tanoim that were mentioned in the Mishnah, specifically with regard to the property that is returned or not returned during the Yovel. My Taimo de Rabbi Meir. The Gemara asks, what is the reason for Rabbi Meir that says that those listed in the Mishnah do not return that which they received when the Yovel comes? The Gemara answers, Mecher Omar Rachmon, Hu di Omar Rachmon Allah de Yovel. The Torah specifies sales are reversed during the Yovel. What we mean by that is properties that one bought, purchases. Purchased property is restored to original owners in Yovel. Maton of Yerushalayim, but gifts and inheritances are not. The Hani, the examples in the Mishnah, cover both areas. The Yerusha, those properties that were inherited. We saw a firstborn inherits. A deceased wife is inherited by her husband. Those are inheritances. The Matona. Rabbi Meir spoke about Matona also not being returned in the Yovel because it's not a Mecher, it's a gift. As far as Bechor, Loses Lo Pishnayim. Actually, we made a little bit of a mistake before when we said that a Bechor is considered an heir. Here the Gemara says, no, a Bechor is an example of a Matona, because the Torah, when describing the Bechor getting his double portion, says Loses. Loses is from the verb of to give, which is the same root as the word Matona. And that's what the Gemara means when it says Matona Karya Rachmona. The extra portion that the Bechor receives is called Matona, and therefore not Mecher, and therefore not returned during the Yovel. V'hayoresh es ishtoi Yerushas Habal Doraisa. The husband's inheritance of his wife's property is a Torah ordained inheritance, and hence it comes under the category of Yerusha, of inheritance. Vehamiyabim es eishes ochiv b'chor karya rachmona. The Torah refers to the Yavam by the term b'chor, and we saw already that b'chor is called matona. V'chachomim omrim Matono kemecher. The Chachamim on the point of gift properties received disagree, and they say that it is returned in the Yovel. Mai tamayu de Rabbonon. Where do they get their idea from? Toshuvu. The Pasuk uses that word. It's a word that's extra. Lerabois es hamaton. It comes to include matonas. Vehani kulhu Yerusha ninu. The other examples mentioned in the Mishnah, the Rabbanan concede to Rabbi Meir that they are not returned because those are examples of Yerusha. As far as Bechor, Omar, now Bechor, why does Bechora not go back according to the Rabbanan? In other words, on Bechora there, we saw before Bechora actually described as Matona. And if you're telling me that Toshuvu includes Matona, so we have to explain Bechora, why is it that even though it seems to be referred to as Matona, the Rabbonin agree that it doesn't go back? Omar Kro, Lo Se Slo Pishnayim. Pishnayim is a reference to the double portion. Markish Chelik Bechora, the Chelik Poshut. The extra portion that a Bechor gets is compared to the Poshut, the basic portion that the Bechor gets as a member of a family, as a member of a group of brothers. Ma Chelik Poshut Yerusha, Av Chelik Bechora Yerusha. Just like the Chelik Poshut is Yerusha, the Pasuk says, V'hoya b'yom hanchilo esbonov, that's a reference to Yerusha, and therefore the Bechora portion is compared to that and is hence classified as Yerusha. And that's why the Chachamim concede that Chelik Bechora does not go back during Yovel. The point of difference between Chachamim and Rabbi Meir refers to the case of Matona itself, an actual gift. Rebbe Lazar Omer Kulam Chozrim B'Yovel. All of these do go back during the Ovel. Sovala Karabonon, the Amri, Toshuvu L'Rabos Esamatona. Rebbe Lazar holds like the Rabbonon that said the word Toshuvu includes Matona as going back during the Ovel. Not just sales, but Matonas also. V'hani Kulu Matona Ninu. All of these are classified as Matona. And here the Gemara lists each point. Bechor is called Matona Loseis Lo Pishnayim. The word Loseis is Matona. Matona Karya Rachmona. The Torah calls Bechora Matona. V'hayoresh is Ishto. Why is a husband that inherits his wife, his wife's properties, why are those restored to her family during the Ovel? Yerushas Habal de Rabbonon, the fact that a husband inherits his wife, according to Rebbe Lozer, is only a rabbinic institution. The Hamayabim es Eishes Achiv, the Yovam property that the Yovam who inherited or took over the deceased brother's property, that goes back to the rest of the brothers. During the Yovel, Bechor Karya Rachmona. And Bechor, we already saw, is called Matona. Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan. Ho'achen shecholku lukuchos hein, u'machzirin ze lo ze b'yovel. Brothers who divide an estate are viewed as purchases, says Rav Asi in the name of Rav Yochanan. And as such, since they're viewed as purchasers, they return the land that they inherited as part of an estate. They return it one to the other. In other words, they rejoin all of their properties into one parcel, one piece of land. Mosiv Rav Hoshaya. Now, we should point out that if they return it to the original state, meaning one unit, there will be a then redistribution at the Ovel of those properties. So they, when their father died, they each one was assigned a parcel of land, and when the Yovel comes, they rejoin and a redistribution takes place. Mosiv Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya raises an objection. V'elu she'ein chozrin b'yovel ha-bechora. We see that when the Yovel comes, the bechora, the extra portion that a bechor got, which is part of an inheritance, doesn't go back during the Yovel. Omar le Rav Elazar. My ein chozrin. What does the expression of Ein Chozrin mean? Ein Chozrin Levatola. It means that it's not returned in a fashion, in a way that he loses the Bechora. No, it is returned. All of the property that these brothers inherited is rejoined and redistributed. And during the redistribution, the Bechor will get Pi Shnaim. He'll get a double portion. Maskif Lo Rav Sheshes. Michlal, should we infer the Ma Diomar Chozrin, that the one that says that there is Chozrin, in other words, we saw in our Mishnah, Rebbe Lozer, for example, said all of them go back during the Ovel. If you're explaining the term Ein Chozrin to mean, well, they do rejoin, but he doesn't lose his Bechora portion, are you then saying that the one who says Chozrin would mean Chozrin Levatola Ko'omar? Are you saying then that Rebbe Lozer is saying that he does lose his Bechor portion during the Yovel, or at the Yovel year? So this is Rav Sheshes' wonderment, or his objection. How can you possibly interpret Ein Chozrin as meaning there is return, but he doesn't lose his portion? That leaves room to think that the opinion that says Chozrin means not only is it return, but the Bechor does lose his extra portion. Upon hearing this, Rami Bar Chamo reacts, Kori Rami Bar Chamo Oled Rav Sheshes. Rami Bar Chamo described Rav Sheshes with the following pasuk, Toiv Chochma Im Nachla. Rashi explains that Chochma, sharpness, is all the better when it's accompanied by knowledge of many sources. And Rav Sheshes was an expert in sources. He knew Brisis. Brisis is Tanaic literature in addition to the Mishnayos. He, Rav Sheshes, was an expert in these additional sources of Tanaic literature, the Brisos. And he goes on to say that, Rami Bar Chamo goes on to say about Rav Sheshes, V'lo shmia lei ha, dechi also ravanam Rav Yochanan. Apparently, he didn't hear the teaching that Ravin brought with him in the name of Rav Yochanan, V'amri la. Another version of names is Rav Elazar Omar Mishum Rav Elazar ben Shamua. My Choizrin, Choizrin Levatola. In fact, that opinion that says, yes, Choizrin B'Yovel, that Bechor is Choizrin, it means Choizrin Levatola, that it's the properties are rejoined, and when the redistribution takes place, the Bechor no longer will not get a double portion in the redistribution. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika Omer, Hayoresh es Ishtoi, Yachsir Livnei Mishpacha. In the Mishnah we saw Rabbi Yochanan Baruch say that one who inherits his wife, he returns the property to her family, and a deduction is made with regard to the monies that they pay the husband in compensation. We want to understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's position. My kosovar. E kosovar Yerushas Habal de Raisa. If it's true that a Baal, a husband, inherits his wife on a Torah level, Amai Yachzir Livnei Mishpocha. So why is there a need to return to the properties to her family? The E kosovar Yerushas Habal de Rabbonon. And if he's of the opinion that it's only rabbinic, and that midoraisa, the Baal, doesn't really inherit his wife, and therefore when the Yovel comes, it's obvious they should get her property back. Domim maya viditaya, what's this payment of money? What do they need to pay the husband for? The Gemara answers, Olam kosovar, Yerushas Avaldo Raisa. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is of the opinion that the power of inheritance that a husband has regarding his wife's property is Torah-based. The Hocha b'mayaskinon, the case featured in the Mishnah, is a very specific case of inheritance. Kegon sheho rishoso ishto beis hakforos. The wife left to her husband her family's grave site, her family's grave plots. In other words, there was, as part of this, her family's holdings, there was a graveyard that in which her family members had been buried. She inherited that. This husband, who obviously is related only through marriage, is expected to give up his holding on her family's plots. As the Gemara says, Umishum Pagam Mishpacha, because of the honor of her family, Omur Rabbonon Lishkol Domi Vilahadir. Because of the, Pagam is a word indicating disparagement. In order to preserve the dignity of her family, having family plots owned by someone outside the family, someone who's related only through marriage, he's called, with regard to this area, an outsider. So in order to preserve her family's dignity, we ask of this husband, we tell him, listen, you inherited your wife, and she was the holder of the family plot. Give it back to her family. Whoever survives from her family, give that plot, that graveyard, back to them, and take instead money. uchidisanyo, and as is featured in the Brisa, hamocher kivoroi v'derech kivoro, if a person sold his plot and the pathway to his grave, moko ma'amodo ubeis hespedo, ma'amod and hesped are different procedures and rituals that take place during a funeral. And there are places that are assigned for the ma'amod and for the hesped. Let us say someone had sold his plot and these other features, these other areas, to some purchaser. Boim b'nei mishpocha v'koivrim oisoi baal korchoi. The family members of this person who sold his plot to some outsider, the family members come and bury the seller in that plot against the will of the purchaser, mishum pegam mishpocha, because of family honor. In other words, to have some outsider holding a grave, a plot, amongst some other family's graves is considered a pegam, a disparagement to the family. It's insulting. It's negative. Umay yinake lohem min adomim. What was meant by this term that we saw in the Mishnah, that when the husband returns the family plots to her, to the wife's family, he gets paid for that. However, he doesn't get paid the full value. There is a subtraction, a reduction in what they have to pay him. Why is that? Answer, deme kever ishto. The value of the wife's plot itself, that was something that a husband was obligated to care for anyway. Since a husband is chayev pekvuras ishto, a husband would have had to pay to buy a plot for his wife anyway. So he cannot expect them to compensate him for her plot. So they pay the husband the value of the graveyard or the family section. He gets compensated for that because he's giving it back to her family. However, her specific plot is something he can't expect compensation for, because that's something he was obligated to take care of anyway. With that, we conclude the perek and our shiur for today.